Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. We are back after a three-week break in which Reading finally won a league game for the first time this season, but they also lost another two. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined once again by the Working in Papers, Tom Crocker. How's it going, Tom?
Morning, Ollie. Not too bad. Good to be back, I think. Like I say, got the win, but last night's brought us all back down to earth a bit.
Yeah, the Championship is back in full swing after the first international break of the season, with Reading hosting Hull this Saturday, less than 72 hours after the 2-1 defeat to Norwich on Wednesday night. Now, after the jubilation of that first win at Preston last weekend, Tom, and it's sort of being really pleasing to see the team keep fighting after being pegged back to 1-1 and then 2-2 and to still get that winning goal. Sort of Wednesday night certainly reminded us not to get too excited, because it really was quite a poor performance for the most part. And I think for me, it sort of certainly puts this whole game now sort of in a totally different light, I think, because you were sort of, you might have hoped we were going into this whole game sort of potentially trying to get a third straight win and trying to build some momentum. But now after that defeat yesterday, you're sort of looking again for a reaction to another sort of demoralising defeat, especially after that winning goal came less than a minute after our own equaliser.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, it's Saturday now has become a huge game again. I think everyone, most of the fans, are sort of faced up to the fact that it's going to be battling near the bottom again. But if they lose on Saturday, it's certainly going to be a relegation battle again. It's a huge game against Hull. But yeah, like you say, last night they had a chance to make it two wins in a row. Paul Clement named an unchanged side for the first time all season. A reward, I suppose, for winning a game in the first half performance. They certainly didn't repay that faith. It was an awful first half, and they say they improved a bit after the break. But after equalising, they let a goal in straight away, and then they still had 20 minutes after that to try and get a winner. But I can't remember any save the keeper had to make after that second Norwich goal. So it's a sort of similar story, still no points at home all season. And yeah, like you say, now it's completely changed the context for the weekend, I think. And yeah, it's going to be I'm sure it won't be a great game again. The games at Manchester don't seem to be, but they just need to find a way to beat Hull, otherwise they're going to be threatened about getting cut adrift if they're not careful now.
I mean, I was going to say, because Reading and Hull are two sides to sort of finish near the bottom of the Championship last season, and it's looking sort of to be the same this time around. We are, of course, 22nd with 5 points, but Hull are actually only 2 points ahead in 19th place, and also suffered a 2-1 defeat in midweek to Wigan. It means both teams will sort of be looking at this game, Tom, as quite a big opportunity to potentially win against a not-so-good side. And certainly, as you said, sort of whoever does lose, it may well be in quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah, like I say, it's not dissimilar at all to Reading. I don't think it, like I say, struggled last season. I think most of their games have been pretty tight again as well. I think, like I say, 2-1 in midweek, I think most of their games have been generally a one-goal margin, which seems to be the story for quite a lot of teams this season. And yeah, they've got some decent players, obviously a few familiar faces as well, but it's say they're beatable, but I'm reluctant to say that anymore, really. But you look at the players they've got, and you look at the players Reading have got, and this is a game that Reading can win, and you've got to hope that, like happened last Saturday against Preston, they did manage to get a win there, so there are wins out there for them against some of these teams towards the bottom. But yeah, the playing at home seems to be becoming a real issue now, and it's obviously there were a few boos at half-time and full-time, but I think as soon as Reading equalised, the place sort of lit up for about 30 seconds, and everyone was really getting behind them, so I don't think that's a fan issue. I think it's more of the mentality of the players has to come into question again. And say Paul Clement last night was speaking about the passion and desire and lack of desire. He's speaking like a manager who's only just turned up, really, which is a bit worrying. He's been here sort of 6 months now, and you'd like to think that would be the first thing he's managed to get right. He said before you move on to sort of tactical things, you need to get that right. And if that's not right yet either, then it's a bit of a worry. So yeah, like I said, this weekend both teams will look at Hull, will come down looking to think that they can get the win out of it, which you'd expect, and then Reading have to look at it as a game that they really need to win if they've got any hope of trying to pull away from the bottom three. Or otherwise, like I say, they could end up getting stuck down there if they're not too careful.
Looking at the odds for this one, we are 6-4 to win the game. Hull are 15-8, and the draw is 11-5, and that's according to Odds Checker. Hashtag GamblerWare. So that does place us as the marginal favourites. The two games between the sides last season were very even, with a 1-1 draw at the Mazdad and a 0-0 draw at the KCOM Stadium. So potentially another close one.
Yeah, quite possibly. Like I say, I'm not really expecting it to be a great game. It's two sides who, like you say, have struggled for a year or more now, really, down at the wrong end of the table, and they're just trying to find a way to pick up points. They got some decent players. Hull, I think Jackson Irvin's still there, and some familiar faces. Elphick and Martin both started in midweek, so I'm sure they'll be keen to prove a point this weekend. But yeah, it'll be tight again. You'd imagine all the games have been all season. You don't see why that would change, really. It's just a case of if Reading can actually take their chances, maybe, and say there'll probably be a few changes, and hopefully that'll freshen up the team a little bit, and maybe that'll help. But yeah, they need to, if things get ahead in the game, maybe that'll help. Obviously, I don't think they've been leading a home game all season since that very first game, which obviously we look back on now and you wonder how things might have been a bit different if that had gone well. But yeah, it's back to square one, really. You'd have hoped that they win at Preston and go on there, but it's back to starting all over again. So Clement again speaking last night about how there's still so many games to go and how they're only X amount of points away from the top six, which I'm not sure is the wisest comment at the moment, really. It makes you wonder if he's taken in the actual reality of the situation, maybe, when, yeah, maybe they would have only been 3 or 4 points off the top six, but the fact that they've only won one game all season, so it's not really the best time to be talking about that. So, yeah, the weekend's a huge game again already, which if they lose it, it's going to be, I think it's a whole week off then until Brentford away, so which is not going to be easy. So they need to really get the win this weekend anyway, and like I say, it'll probably be a scrappy one, but hopefully then just about come out the right side of it.
Yeah, I mean, we need to sort of get out of the bottom three first before we can even start contemplating about trying to get into the top six. And you mentioned all the tight games. I think all of Reading's games this season have been decided by just the one goal. We haven't lost by more than two goals in the league, at least so far this season. Obviously, the only win against Preston also decided by just the one goal. But those odds, as mentioned, Reading are the favourites with the bookmakers, but perhaps don't take into account Reading's atrocious home form so far this season. All five of our points in 2018-19 have been picked up on the road, which isn't actually that bad of an away record if you think about it, sort of 5 points from four games. But with four defeats from four home games, which represents our worst ever start to a league season at home, and it's a very loaded question, Tom, but what on earth is going wrong at the Maslad at the moment?
Yeah, like I said, last night it didn't feel like it was sort of a fan issue getting on their backs or anything, really. I think maybe it's an easy answer, but it feels like it's a mental problem with the team now. As soon as they go behind, say they battled quite hard to get back in the game at 1-0. I think they started the second half better than they played in the first half. Had a few chances. They weren't brilliant by any means, but they had a few chances and got the equaliser. And then like I say, 60 seconds later, they're behind again. And still from then, you still have got 20 minutes to try and rescue it. You've got plenty of strikers on the pitch at that point. And I can't really remember any real chances for the last 20 minutes. So it's like, as soon as they let one in, they're like, that's over again for another game and move on to the weekend, which that feels like the biggest problem at the moment, that whenever they fall behind, especially at home, it seems, they can't seem to find a way to break teams down. Obviously, Norwich probably dropped in a little bit more when they get the lead for the second time, but Reading have got the players in that team to try and break them down, but they've got too many players out of form at the moment, too many players who, when they go behind, they are trying their best to get back into the game, but it's just mentally it's got to be tough. Even just sitting there and watching it, everyone's thinking it's going to be another defeat, and the players must be feeling that as well. It must seep down to them. So I think that's the biggest problem, that they haven't had any home wins for such a long time, that when they go behind at home, it feels like it's just the same old story, and that maybe at the moment they are preferring playing away from home, which is a big worry. I think the next three home, they got Hull, QPR and Millwall, which are three games that you look at, and if they're going to have any hope, you've got to get some momentum going at home, like I say, they'll get cut away. You can't keep relying on picking up good results away from home all season. You need to be picking up most of your points at home. So yeah, you just need to hope one win will turn it around or something like that, but it's hard, like I say, it's hard to see where that is coming from, because the games are so tight. That is one saving grace, maybe one of them will, even if they don't deserve it, might fall in their favour, and that could change everything. That's the only hope I think we can cling on to at the moment.
On the topic of goal times, I will give a guilty plug to a piece that I wrote on the Tyler Stern about when Reading are conceding goals, and there is quite a worrying trend emerging, especially conceding goals sort of in the 15 minutes after half time. But so go ahead and read that after this podcast, of course. But it is now time to get the thoughts of the opposition ahead of Saturday's game. So let's get into the view from the town end.
The view from the town end. What the opposition think.
You from the town end time then, and with Reading hosting Hull City this weekend, I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by Tigers fan Catherine Batty. How's it going, Catherine?
Not too bad. A little depressed after yesterday's defeat to Wigan, but maintaining the optimism as much as we can do.
Yeah, I was going to start with how your season has gone so far, because obviously you struggled last season, fought the majority of it before securing survival with two games to go. And this year doesn't seem to start an awful lot better. You're 18th in the table at the time of recording, before the Wednesday night fixtures, with two wins, one draw and five defeats from eight games. Of course, as you mentioned, the 2-1 defeat to Wigan last night. Were you expecting another season in the bottom half of the table, or sort of you hoping to kick on from last season, which of course there is still time to do?
No, I was expecting us to struggle, especially after the lack of recruitment in the summer. We got two loan deals on the last day, which wasn't really enough. Chris Martin and Tommy Elphick, in theory, are good players. Both of them lacking match fitness, though, but hopefully we can get them fit and get them playing regularly. But just, we've lost so many players in the summer and not replaced. Obviously, the likes of David Myler, who's now at Reading, we've not really got anyone like him anymore. He's not got a worker or someone who's prepared to put a tackle in. We lost our leader in Michael Dawson. Marcus Henriksen stepped up to be captain. He's not really a natural captain or a leader. He's sort of having to take on that role because there's no one else there to do it. So I was expecting us to struggle. So the results and how they've gone is not much of a surprise, to be honest.
This is Hull's second season back in the Championship after relegation from the Premier League in 2007. Sort of struggled to adapt back to life in the second tier. And this is sort of in contrast, actually, to when you bounced straight back from relegation in 2015. And obviously, we all know what a difficult league the Championship is to get out of. But sort of what's changed at the club in sort of the last two or three years? I mean, the ownership issues are well documented. How are things standing in that department at the moment?
What's changed in terms of since, you know, we got relegated the first time is we've lost Steve Bruce, who has a great track record of taking teams up to the Premier League. And also that season he had a fantastic squad that he managed to hold on to the majority of players. You know, we had Tom Huddleston, Jake Livermore, Andrew Robertson, Abel Hernandez, players that, you know, in the Championship were sort of a luxury almost. And after relegation the second time, you know, we lost the majority of that squad, the spine of the squad, and didn't replace them. You know, yeah, like we say, the ownership issues are ongoing, and there's not really been a solution. How long they're going to be here for remains to be seen. You know, they've been talking about perhaps selling at Christmas, but more likely is that they'll wait for the final parachute payment, which I think is January, and they add on money that they're due to get from the Harry Maguire and Sam Clucas sales. And then they may leave, but where they hand the club to remains to be seen. And there's a lot of issues going off the pitch with the fans, and you know, attendances are at an all time low in the Championship because of the issues and the prices of tickets and the lack of concessionary tickets as well.
Nigel Adkins is the man in charge after replacing Leonard Slutsky in December. Are you a fan of Adkins? I mean, he was of course previously at Reading. I actually quite liked him and sort of admired him for sort of sticking with the club when things were sort of a bit of a mess behind the scenes. But is he the man to take Hull City forward?
I don't really think there's anyone else out there that could. And, you know, it's very difficult. You kind of, on one hand, you feel for him because of what he has to work with. He'd had such a limited budget and he somehow manages to remain positive. But sometimes that positivity cannot strangely be a negative to fans. When, for example, last night he came out and said, you know, we didn't deserve to lose. And I think he must have been watching a different game to me because we really were awful. And sometimes he's so positive, it's kind of like you don't understand where he gets his positivity from. But he just seemed like a really nice guy. He's passionate about the club, about the football, about the fans. So in that sense, I do like him. And there isn't anyone else out there that I think would come in and want to take the job on. So, but in the same situation, he knew what he was getting himself into. You know, when he was already watching a game before Leonard Slutsky had been sacked. So in that sense, he's only got himself to blame in terms of he knew what he was getting himself into. But like I say, he is a nice guy. So hopefully new owners can come in and he can get a chance to maybe invest a little bit in the squad.
Yeah, I think if you were to ask Reading fans to sum up Nigel Adkins in one word, I think a lot of them would probably say positive. I think he came up with a now infamous quote after one of our games, something about the positivity of being positive is so positively positive. And that's an actual quote from Nigel Atkins after a Reading game.
I think I have seen that. Yeah, I remember one of his famous ones for us last season was when we were defeated at Sunderland 1-0. And after the game, he said, you know, we came in really positive. We had a really good warm-up, as if the warm-up would, you know, made everything. But for some reason, we didn't get the result. And he manages to find a positive in the worst of times.
As for Saturday's game, then, how much of a challenge do you think that Reading will present Hull with? I mean, if you pay much notice to our start to the season?
Yeah, well, only in the sense that you're sort of down there with us. We're sort of keeping an eye on results of teams around us. Like, obviously, ourselves, you got a win at the weekend, which was most unwelcome. But I think you're in a similar position to us in terms of, you know, being down in the bottom and half of the table and maybe not particularly investing. I'm not sure how much money you sort of spent over the summer, but obviously you've got the likes of David Myler, who was a bit of a fan favourite at Hull, and Sonny Aluko was at Hull for a while as well, of course, and Paul McShane. So there's a few ex-Tigers in the team. But yeah, I think it could be a very, very close game. I could see it being either a 0-0 or a one goal to edge it, but I think it's a game neither side want to lose, really.
Who do you think your key player will be in the weekend?
It's a tricky one. Probably Jared Bowen, in the sense of he has the ability to be a match winner. He's not quite been as good at the start of this season as he was last season. I think maybe teams are finding him out a bit more. Kamil Grzycki could possibly, he's unlikely to start due to fitness, but he could come off the bench and, you know, I don't know if you saw the story of him on the loan transfer deadline day, if he was meant to go to Bursaspor and ended up, no one really knew where he was, and he ended up not making the deal, and he came back and he seems to be quite motivated and like sort of Bowen, it, when he's on form, can win you a game. So probably either of those two, in the sense of maybe being the difference between the two teams.
Bowen certainly caught my eye last season. Was quite a good young player. Were you perhaps surprised to see him stay at the club this summer? Was there much interest in him?
There didn't seem to be an awful lot of interest. There was a few whispers around saying Everton might have been looking at him with the Marco Silva connection. But I was all surprised no one sort of had a look. But I was surprised in the sense that we did manage to hold on to him. I think we've got him on a reasonably long contract. But it's interesting because he has been sort of, I don't want to say found out, but he needs to sort of find another trick almost. He's one of those players where he's got one trick and, you know, it worked very well last season, but now he's sort of being, the teams are putting two players on him and, you know, marking him out of the game. So he needs to kind of find that little bit of spark that he has got in him to just, you know, take him on to the form he had last season. But he is the one that is prepared to run at players that we've got in the side, because we've not really got many other players that do that.
Finally then, Catherine, how do you see the game panning out this weekend?
I think it'll be very tight. I think we made five changes last night to the team that beat Ipswich. I can see us making the five changes again to go back to the team Saturday. We're going to be desperate not to lose, so I think we'll probably go and sit back, perhaps play on the counter and maybe go nil. But I don't see many goals in the game, to be honest.
For me, I think this is sort of a game that both sides will look at and sort of potentially fancy their chances, obviously with both teams being down there, but I'll say 2-1 to Reading. I've got to back my boys. But to be honest, I think Reading and Hull, sort of much like last season, will probably be two teams sort of who end up near the bottom of the Championship this season.
Yeah, I think it's two teams that, for me, you look at and you think they've got enough to stay up, and that theoretically there should be three worse teams in the league than us. But it's going to be a case of, you know, you look at the likes of Rotherham, and if you look at the squad compared to ours, you'd probably say we had the better squad, but we have that team sort of spirit that seems to be getting them results.
My thanks then to you, Catherine, for joining me on The View from the Town End. All the best on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
No worries, thank you. You too.
It's now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of Saturday and pick our preferred lineups for the game.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview, looking ahead to Reading versus Hull City. And it's time to look at the team news for Saturday's game. Injury wise, Tom, I think the sort of the short term absentees that missed Wednesday night, by my count, was sort of Vito Minone, Paul McShane, David Myler, and Tyler Black. I mean, I might have missed a couple, but did Paul Clement sort of provide an update on any of those after the game?
The short answer is no. It was a very quick press conference. We didn't quite manage to get into that, sadly. But from what I gather, I think Minone's still going to be out, and I think Myler and Blackett are not too far away and could possibly be back. McShane, I'm not sure. McShane, I don't know if he was just left out last night. I didn't hear of any injury that I know of, but say I could be wrong on that front, but I don't think he's... I think he's available as far as I'm aware. And then, like you say, the others, long-term ones, I think Popper's still out, and then Edwards and Abita aren't training yet, and McCleary and Harriet, I think it's probably still a little bit too soon for them this weekend, but they're getting closer, so especially McCleary. But yeah, I think it's likely to be maybe the same squad as Wednesday night, with possibly Myler and Blackett back involved for selection, at least.
I mean, McShane's an interesting one. I was listening to BBC Radio Berkshire after the game, and I think Clement said he picked up a little bit of a knock, but it's certainly an interesting one. Because
okay.
I mean, he has been dropped. He was dropped after that Blackburn game, in which sort of he put in a bit of a horror show, conceding those two penalties. So whether Clement's sort of creating a cover for that, or whether he's actually dropped him, because obviously John O'Shea got in the squad ahead of him last night if McShane was fit.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. I think he still probably is ahead of O'Shea in the pecking order at the moment. He's obviously still club captain, so it probably is a knock. But he's not in the starting lineup at the moment, and I'm not too sure that will change this weekend, even if he is fit and available. Although the two last night weren't brilliant, but I think they're still Laurian Moore is still just about ahead of him at the moment.
As for the team then, Tom, what would your preferred lineup be for Saturday?
I think Walker will stay in goal. I think Manoni's still going to be out, so him in goal, and then back four is, if Blackett's fit, I would play him, but I'm not sure he will be fully fit, so I'd go Gunter reluctantly. I'd say he wasn't great last night, but Gunter, Ilori Moore, and Andy Yeardom, and then probably I'll try and have a two in midfield. Like, it seems to be the best way if they can. Bakuna will probably keep his place, and then I'll just throw in Ezra Talai. I think he was on the bench last night, played for Iran, so he's clearly fit enough to play. And yeah, I think it's worth giving him a go now, to see what he's like, and the sounds are good about him at the moment, so I'd put him in, and then going forward I'd change it almost completely, really. I think don't think Aluko deserves to start anymore. I think Josh Sims he needs a start, see how he gets on from the start of a game. Barrow on the other side as well, I think Maytay could do with a breather. Keep Swift in there, and then play Bodvarsson up front. He's the only one really scoring the goals. Obviously Baldock got one last week, but I think the team just looks better with Bodvarsson in it, basically, and that's how I think they should go 4-2-3-1 with a bit of a fresher look front line. I think those three all came on, Sims, Barrow and Bodvarsson. I think they all should get a start of the weekend.
I think Bodvarsson certainly plays the lone strike role a little bit better than Sam Baldock, who sort of looks as though he needs someone playing alongside him or sort of playing off him, which he didn't really have last night, or didn't really get the service last night at all. But I've actually gone for a very similar team, all the same, apart from just the one player different. I would have Omar Richards in for Chris Gunter and put Andy Yeardom back on the right. I mean, the fullback situation is sort of a bit of a talking point at the moment, with Gunter, for me, not really being that great since his return from injury. I mean, he couldn't really do anything right on Wednesday night, but he does sort of restrict the impact that sort of Yeardom has, who I thought was really, really good, actually, when he played on the right, but moving over to the left doesn't look quite as natural. And it is why I would have Richards in at left-back, presuming that Blackett isn't quite fit enough to play, but I'm not entirely sure how likely Paul Clement is to actually do that.
Yeah, I think it's probably unlikely. It could be an idea to swap Yeardom and Gunter over. I don't think that would necessarily be a bad thing. I think Gunter was probably better at left-back quite a lot last season, so that could be an option. I think Gunter, he obviously did have that injury, so possibly he's still coming back from that to full fitness, maybe. But yeah, I think he's more likely to stick with him, especially in this situation, than throwing Richards back in, who I think it was Watford, the game he struggled in as well. So it's not like he's been banging on the door to get a spot. But yeah, like you say, the fullback situation is far from ideal at the moment. I think Yeardom's the only one really who's nailed on to play in that back line at the moment.
One player who we both have included in our squad, we mentioned briefly, was Saïd Ezatalahi. I think I've got that pronunciation right. Mm. But he's the Iranian international we've got on loan from Rostov for the season now. I don't think any Reading fan particularly knows much about him at all, but from what I've read, he certainly sounds promising, and we'd definitely give him a go against Hull. Am I right thinking he actually only arrived in the UK last Friday or Saturday? Do you think he'll be up to speed by this weekend?
Yeah, so I think he got in on Saturday morning. Eventually, he had to sort visa issues out in Paris, and then finally got over here. And I think maybe was meant to do some light training on Saturday, and then I think he joined in fully on from Monday onwards. So, say as far as fitness goes, he was on the bench last night, so he's fit enough to be involved. And yeah, like I say, he played for Iran last week, so he is available. I think obviously pre-season wise, he had a few weeks training with Rostov, and it hasn't been maybe an ideal start for him this season, but. Given the way the season's going for Reading and given the way the centre midfielders are playing for Reading, I don't think it'll do too much harm to put him in there and see what he's like. Obviously, it's another whole week until the next game, so you can maybe play him and see how he gets on, and you'd have options to bring him off if he can't last the full 90. But I certainly think we'll probably see him at some point. And yeah, if Milo's back, possibly he'll come in instead. But yeah, I think it's certainly worth giving him a go now. It sounds like he's made a decent impact, and it's just got to see how he gets on in the games now.
Josh Sims is another summer signing that I wanted to discuss, and one both of us again have in our team, and he's yet to start a game for Reading yet, and with all of his appearances coming off the bench, but I think surely now it is time for him to get a start. I mean, he's always made a decent impact when coming on. As you mentioned, Sonny Luko hasn't particularly impressed me, and was poor again last night. I think some people might say that Sims is best used as an impact sub, but for me, you're sort of we're in no position to sort of think about impact subs when we can't really make an impact from the start of games.
Yeah, I was going to say that might be what's possibly in Clement's thinking, that he's doing so well off the bench. Do you want to risk it, or yeah. do you want to keep him there, knowing that when you bring him on, he is going to do something? But yeah, completely. What would you say there? Reading aren't in that sort of situation where they can be holding back some of their better players or some of their better form players at the moment. Luko, like you say, poor last night. He got an assist at the weekend, but poor on Wednesday. And Sims, what more can he do, really? The only way you're going to know if he is going to be any better from the start is to give him a game from the start and see how he gets on. And I don't think you can keep holding him back now. And say if you've got Barrow on one wing and Sims on the other wing and Bodvas in the middle, that'll cause him a lot of problems. I think Sims looked again pretty good when he came on last night, and it causes problems. Maybe that is because he's fresher than other people, but he just seems so much more confident at the moment than Luko. I think that's the biggest problem for Luko. And if Luko starts the weekend, I'd be massively surprised, I think, if he gets another start now. I don't think he's played 90 minutes since the first game of the season, so he's clearly not been impressing that much either. I think it must be time now to give Sims a game from the start and see how he gets on.
Yeah, I think Sims and Barrow certainly looks to be a good combination on the wing. I think when Barrow came on last night, it certainly looked as though a lot of Reading's game plan was sort of get the ball to Mo Barrow and see if he can get any chances from the left wing. But finally then, Tom, I'll ask you for your prediction for Saturday. Neither of us actually picked up any points against Preston or Norwich. I think you went for a defeat against Preston, I went for a draw, and then you said 0-0 last night, and I for some weird reason went for 3-0 to Reading. I can't really explain why I went for that, but let's hope we can do a little better this weekend. What are you going to go for against Hull?
You must have still been in holiday mode for that 3-0 against Norwich. I don't think they win 3-0 all season, probably. Yeah, I'm going to go for a win. I don't really know why. I go for a 2-1 win, but I think I've only got one right all season, so I wouldn't take any notice of that. But I will go for a 2-1 win in the hope that Reading have to win a home game at some point, surely. So
I said 2-1 as well in the view from the town end with the whole fan, but that was recorded before the Norwich defeat. But I will stick with that, though, just trying to keep the faith. But with Brentford and West Brom coming up in two of our next three games, I think defeat this weekend will be very, very costly indeed. I mean, I don't want to spark any rumours at all or anything, but is it clear sort of how much time the owners are willing to give Paul Clement?
It's hard to say. We haven't spoken to them. We've spoken to Ron, not Gawley, obviously. And it sounds, obviously, I don't think they want to be constantly chopping and changing the manager. I'm not entirely sure how much of a problem the manager is, given that Yap struggled with these players as well last season, the majority of these players, and you have to wonder if it's probably a discussion for another podcast. We'll go on for hours about it, but I think it's probably more a problem further up the chain than Clement, probably. So I think they'll give him a chance. Obviously, they did get the win last weekend, so if they can then win this weekend, it'll be two wins out of three, and possibly you can look at it like that and put a positive spin on it, and it'll look a bit better. But if you keep losing games, especially at home, then and the attendances keep going down as well, then it's certainly going to raise a few eyebrows. But I don't think nothing's certainly imminent, I don't think, with Clement. I think they'll certainly give him I think it's another block of games, obviously, to the international break. If you look at it then and they're adrift in the bottom three, then it wouldn't be a surprise to see something happen. Obviously, it's happened with Clement in the past. It's other clubs. So I think you'll certainly get the next sort of four or five games, see how it looks after that, and hopefully Reading will be up the table a little bit and it won't really be a discussion point. But yeah, it's there's a lot of problems all the way through at the moment. I don't think too many of them are fully Clement's problem as far as the owners are concerned, so I don't think they'll be pulling the trigger just yet.
I completely agree. I think the issues at the club lie far deeper than Paul Clement. We could talk about that long into the day, but if you do want to hear more Reading talk, and the main podcast was released on Monday with Mark Mayo and Simeon Pickup, so go back and listen to that if you haven't already. It'll be back the same time next week to look back on the whole game before myself and Tom return late next week to preview the trip to Brentford, who currently sit third in the Championship table, so that one will be a very tough one indeed. In the meantime, there will, as always, be plenty of content over on thetilehurstend.com. We've got a report and ratings up from the Norwich game, and the same, of course, will come after the whole game as well. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to on the Working and Paper in the next week or so?
Some similarly cheery stuff, I imagine. It's so obviously reaction from last night, and then pretty quick turnaround on Saturday again, so we'll be at the game there. So best place to be, follow me on Twitter at Tom J. Crocker, and I'll put everything up on there.
Fantastic. Make sure you go and check all of that out. I mean, it'd be quite nice next week to have a week without no midweek game. I think it's the Carabao Cup. Obviously, Reading lost to Watford in the last round, so there's no game for them. Thank you very much for joining me, Tom, on the weekend preview this week.
Pleasure. Thanks, Ollie.
No worries at all. And thank you at home for listening to this week's show. Here is to hopefully a first home league win at the weekend, and come on, you Ars.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.